Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Clap your hands, all ye people. Let us shout unto God with a voice of triumph. If you're expecting things to turn around in your life, if you're expecting God to make a way where there seemeth to be no way, if you're expecting God to do a new thing in your life, would you give the Lord one more tremendous hand clap of praise? One more hand clap of praise. One more hand clap of praise. You say, well, Brother John, if God's going to do that, why did I have to clap and applaud him if he's already going to do that so that you could point people in the right direction? David said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. When you magnify something, I'm a small-time coin collector. I don't have a lot of valuable coins, but I like to collect them because of the art, because of the metal. And guys, I'm going to tell you something. When I first started collecting coins as a young man, I could just pick up that coin, read everything on it with no problem whatsoever. Then in my 30s, I had to put on some reading glasses. And now I'm in my late 50s, I got to put on the reading glasses, get a magnifying glass out, a bright flashlight out to see the lettering and the dating. Why? Does that magnifying glass, do those glasses make that coin any bigger? Those letters any bigger? No. They just make it easier for people to see that are having problem with their vision. So when we begin to praise God for that miracle, we're giving God all the glory and we're pointing God out to people that can't see him. We're magnifying the Lord to people. You may be seated. And I want to tell you something. You know why else we do it? Because it's biblical. The Bible said, let everything. Everybody take your finger and go like that. You still alive? Everybody that's alive, raise your hand and say, thank you, Lord. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. I say, let everything that have breath. And then it says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Let us shout unto God with a voice of triumph. The whole point that I'm trying to make, saints, is why are we here? Why did I'm preaching to the choir right now, because everybody in this church looks like you're here because you're excited about being here. You want to hear the word of God. You want to experience the move of God. You want to be a part of revival. But I go to churches sometimes as an evangelist and on Sunday morning. You know, every church has some SMOs, Sunday morning only, you know. And they really just, I'm not saying it to be mean, but, you know, common sense says some of them go to church because they want, you know, they got out of hell ticket card free, you know. And they go to church just enough to make sure they're going to go to heaven. Now, guys, I'm glad I'm not going to hell, and I'm glad I'm not going to heaven. I'm going to heaven, but I don't go to church just because I ain't going to hell anymore. I'm going to church because I want to hear a word from God. I want to praise and magnify the Lord. I'm saying something, saint. See, everything we do ought to point attention to him. It's for his glory. When we praise him in worship, it's to point him out to a world that may not see him. It is an attitude of gratitude. It's magnifying the Lord to a lost and dying world. It's saying to them, what God has done for me, God will also do for you. God set me free, God will set you free. But most importantly, saints, God's word promises that he inhabits the praises of his people. And when God shows up, everyone's eyes is upon the Lord. Saints of God, I'm going to tell you as an evangelist, I would to God that I could just disappear and just preach this message and you hear my voice giving you the words that God gave me, but wouldn't you freak out a little bit if you just saw a microphone floating around up here and a voice coming out? What I'm trying to say, I don't want to draw attention to myself. I want to point people's attention towards Jesus. And the reason why we're here, the reason why we worship, the reason why we came to church is so that we could get a greater vision of God ourselves and also to glorify the Lord and show him to a lost and dying world. How many are glad that God is revealing himself? And when the service is over, Brother Kenny, it has been my desire, Bishop Woods and Bishop Stroop, that when the service is over, I always want people, I'm thankful when people say, you know, you did a good job preaching. Nobody, unless you're insane, wants to get up and do a bad job. But I'm thrilled the most when people leave and say, boy, Wasn't God in that place? Didn't God really show up? Didn't God really do something big? It is my desire through preaching to reveal Jesus and the Godhead in a greater light and his plan and his agenda. And how many know that God has a plan? How many know that everything that's happening in this world right now did not take God by surprise? He knew about it thousands, and everything Brother Stroop said about the end times and those chips and the number 666. God knew all this before the world was even created in the first place. He was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. What I'm trying to say, saints of God, is God has a plan. God has an agenda. And all you and I have to do is find out what that plan is, get involved in that plan, and God will release the supernatural power in our lives as never before. How many of you want to leave this place tonight in a brand new season with God? How many want to leave this place tonight in a whole new level of your walk with God? Let me tell you, I believe that it is God's will to release a double portion outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church in 2014. I believe that God wants to anoint us and pour out his Spirit twice as powerful as he did in 2013. And should the Lord tarry to 2015, I believe the Lord would like to double it up again. What are you trying to say? I'm saying what we already know. God desires that none should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. Good news is, if you got a lost loved one, God wants them saved as much or worse than you want them saved. And no matter how bad they've been, it is God's heart desire that none should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. But if they're going to get saved, it's going to require an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says that ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you to be a witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and then to the uttermost parts of the world. When God pours out his Spirit upon the body of Christ that has the agenda of Christ, we are a witness, not of ourselves, but of him. People see him clearly, and somebody shout hallelujah. And I'm convinced, saints of God, that God wants to pour out his Spirit on a minimum of a double portion outpouring. It is my prayer, Pastor, that this group of young people, and last night there were three rows of teenagers, and tonight we got almost two rows of teenagers. Aren't you thankful that there's a group of young people that are hungry and thirsty for God? But should the Lord tarry, it is my desire that this generation of Christians would accomplish at least twice what my generation did. And I'm praying that the next generation of preachers that God is raising up in these last days would have twice as successful of ministry as I had in my life. Why? Because it's not about a man, it's about God. It's for his glory. And saints of God, it's kingdom work. I pray that the Lord would anoint you with a double portion, twice as powerful as anything I've ever known before. For why? Because, Bob, without the Holy Ghost, we cannot win the lost. Without the Holy Ghost, we cannot win the world. So I'm praying that God will give you, Mike Woods, a double anointing of anything that I've ever known. I'm praying. That's my heart's agenda. And I believe that God is bringing his church. And I want you to understand this. I'm preaching something that the moment I start reading the scriptures, you're going to say, oh man, that's a familiar place. I've heard that, read it hundreds of times. But tonight it is a fresh word because God directed me to preach this. God is bringing the hungry. How many are hungry for God? How many came to church because you're hungry for God, knowledge of God, an encounter with God, more of him in your life? How many of you really want to know God as you've never known him before? Throw your hands up. And God has spoken to me that he is bringing his hungry church into a new season of double. I believe the year 2014 is the year of double, and God wants to pour brought his spirit double on us tonight, greater than any time in 2013. I believe that God's blessings, that God wants to double up his blessings on us in 2014 so that you and I can facilitate the move of God in these last days. And ye shall receive power. You're going to receive power after that, the Holy Ghost. So I would suppose that the greater the outpouring, the greater the manifestation of power, the greater the manifestation of power, the more souls that are going to be won into the kingdom of God. And God spoke to me. Mike, God spoke to me, and we've been friends for so long, and Brother Stroop, you were fortunate to be raised in the Buell Church of God, and you've forgotten more about God than I know. And there are Christians here that have been Christians all your life, and you've been privy to knowledge that I don't have. But I do know the mind of God when he speaks to me. And God's speaking to me that he wants to bring the church of 2014 into a double. He wants to double up his outpouring, double up that anointing, double up the bear with me, I know it sounds hoiky-joiky, and he's going to do this for those that are hungry, for those that are thirsty. How many are glad that those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled? How many are glad you just won't be filled, that you serve a God tonight that can anoint your head with oil till the cup runneth over? So God began to speak to me that what he is going to do in the year 2014, and it's going to begin now, and it's going to accelerate the closer we get to the rapture, for those that stay hungry, that's those that stay focused, for those that have the agenda of God. It's not enough just to be hungry. It's not about another goosebump. It's not about another doodad. It's not about another emotion. Although the Holy Ghost will produce goosebumps and doodads and great emotions, it's about being endued with power from God so that we can get about the business of God for the agenda. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so what is the agenda? God says, Brother Stroop, that he has a double portion outpouring for the body of Christ, the believers that have a hunger for him, which you already have because you're here, and then also have his agenda. Now, I know what you're saying. You're saying what I was saying today when I was talking to the Lord. I said, God, how can a mere mortal know the mind and the agenda of God? I mean, your ways are not man's ways. Your foolishness, if God ever did anything foolish, is wiser than all the wisdom of man. How can I possibly know your agenda? And God's reminded me. He said, son, you're only going to know in part. I can tell you, Mike Woods, if God tried to tell me 35 years ago when he first saved me and called me to preach, everything that would have happened in my life over the last 35 years, I wouldn't have been able to comprehend it. I wouldn't have been able to understand it. God's done so much more than I could imagine. So what does God do? He shows you a need to know basis. He shows you what you need to know right now to do what you got to do right now. He shows you enough about your future so you can make plans about your future, but he won't give you too much information about things he's going to do in the future. Why? Because if he did, you'd be so focused on that you wouldn't be getting this done right now. Would somebody, are you hearing what I'm saying? And so all a man can do is get saved, pray, seek the face of God, fast, listen, worship, get into God's word, and then God reveals his agenda, and then you have to get filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit is not only power to do the work of God, but the Spirit of God leads you into all truth. In other words, when I want to know the agenda of God, he showed me that I'm to be an alabaster. He told me what to preach tonight. That's my agenda. That's my job. And then he will reveal more to me as I go along. The Spirit will lead me into the next truth as I need it to do what I need to do to be effective for the Lord. That's why it's imperative that the church stay full of the Holy Ghost. Yes, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. But it's more than that. You see, the Holy Ghost is the only thing that can lead us into all truth. It is the Holy Ghost that keeps our direction going the right way. And if we're not filled with the Holy Ghost, we start losing the agenda and the direction of God. And Mom, as long as I stay in God's plan, empowered by the Holy Ghost, I cannot fail but accomplish what God sent me to do. Can I get a witness tonight? So we need to stay in a full state of the Holy Ghost, because he's the only one that can lead us into the truths, and the deep things of God must be spiritually discerned. There are some things, many things, the greatest things in God, you're never going to get it with this mere academics alone. You got to experience it. It's just got to be revealed to you supernaturally. So in 2 Kings chapter 1, or 2 Kings chapter 2, voice number 1, there's going to be a great transference of spiritual authority. The great prophet Elijah is about to be taken, and Elijah is going to step into his shoes. And not only is he going to step into his shoes, he has a desire to accomplish more. And guys, I want to explain to you the double portion. Someone throw your hands up in the air right now and say, the double portion is available. The double portion is mine, but I've got to know the agenda. I have got to know the purpose, because God don't just give you a double portion so you can have another. Bear with me. Listen to what it says. So the great prophet Elijah, you know, the prophet that said, you know what? I've heard from God, and it ain't going to rain, not by his authority, but by the authority of the office of a prophet. He said, it ain't going to rain till I say it rains. Well, really what he's saying, till God tells me it's going to rain. And sure enough, it don't rain for over 3 years, because the man of God said it ain't going to rain, by the power of the Holy Ghost, led into that supernatural truth. Then he says, well, Ahab, you better get your chariot horsed up, and you better get off this mountain, because I say it's fixing the rain, and it just ain't going to rain. There's going to be a flood of rain, and it came down just like the prophet of God said it would. It was this man that found a woman and her son starving to death, and she made a cake for the prophet under the direction of the man of God. And because she did what the man of God told her to do, as God told him what to tell her to do, then her meal never ran out, and her son and her lived through the famine. And guys, I'm going to tell you something else. God didn't just spare that woman and her son. I guarantee you, how many of you have ever been in high clover? Let me see your hands. If you ever been in high clover when you had some scratch? Hey, how many of you ever been really blessed in a big way financially? I hope all of you have. When you get some scratch in your pocket, you'll find out you got relatives you didn't even know you got. They'll come out of the woodwork. Folks that wouldn't have nothing to do with you a day before, find out you got money, and suddenly you're their favorite auntie and favorite uncle. Why? Because they need what you got. They don't want your opinion. They don't even want necessarily your God, but they want into your pocketbook. What I'm trying to say to you, when God made it where that woman's meal never ran out, I'll guarantee you that everybody she knew around her location that were starving to death in a famine at her house every single day. So not only did God bless her where her family would survive, but God blessed everybody that knew her so they would. You better thank God for that Christian in your life that knows how to get a hold of God. This is the man of God that finally one day takes all he can take. He shows up, makes Jezebel madder than a wet hen. And Jezebel ain't a woman. In the Bible, it was a woman, but it's a spirit. And I've seen the Jezebel spirit manifest more in men than I have in women. Anytime someone or anyone tries to exert authority over something that they have no authority of for their own agenda, that is the spirit of Jezebel. And you know how you take care of Jezebel? You don't negotiate with a terrorist. You grab her and you throw her out the window. That's how. No. Wave at me. It ain't a woman. Come on now. Pull on your ear. Say, it ain't a woman. It's a spirit. And if you try to negotiate, as Christians, we're too nice with that devil Jezebel, and we try to make cut deals with them and get along and be all nicey-nicey so they will leave us alone. That's not how they handle. When they came and got Jezebel, she went in there, fixed her face up, figuring that she was going to seduce those guys too, and they didn't even look, just throw her out the window. It's time for us to cast Jezebel out of our houses, out of our business, out of our churches, out of our ministries. Everybody wave at me and say, it's not a woman. It's a spirit. It's an evil spirit. There you go. And so the prophet Elijah goes and says, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of Chrysler. I'm sick of Muslim. I'm sick of Buddhism and all the other isms and isms. And it's too long that we've been standing between two opinions. We're going to find out just who God is. And he says, y'all do your stuff. In 1 Kings 17 and 18, y'all do. I'm just telling you who this is talking about that's fixing to get retired to heaven alive, by the way. He says, y'all do your thing. Y'all know the story. They go to cutting themselves. Cutting ain't new. Demons always get folks to cut themselves. They want to throw themselves on the altar, screaming, whooping, hollering, carrying on. Nothing happens. And the gracious of prophet Elijah stands up, and he can't help himself, Brother Mike. He says, maybe your God's on vacation. Maybe he's on the cell phone with somebody else. Perhaps your God sleeps and someone better wake him up. Aren't you glad you serve a God tonight that doesn't sleep nor slumber, that his eyes are always on you? So they do their thing, you know. And then when they get done doing their thing, Elijah said, all right, now it's my turn. But I have a preacher in the room. How many want double? How many want double? How many want to be doubly as effective? There's a price. Because the first thing he had to do, Brother Stroop, was he had to fix the altar. How did the altar get torn down? The altar got torn down because the church quit using it. And because of that, it wasn't taken care of. So it just fell apart. If people had been praying and making sacrifice, like... So he gets 12 boulders. One for each tribe. You're going to put a whole cow on it. Let's say it's an anorexic cow. That's still a big piece of meat. So he's got great big old rocks. And the prophet does it by himself. He says, boys, if you want double, this house done. So he builds the altar. Then he has to butcher the bull and cut it in pieces and put it on the altar. It's work. Ministry is hard work, but it is the most rewarding work that you can. You don't work a day in your life if you love your work. And I love what I do, but there's effort involved. Now listen, guys, I want you all to listen to this. And then I've had the good fortune of skinning out a deer once, the largest I ever skinned. Weighed 270 pounds, and it's a handful to skin out a deer that big. Could you imagine? Even a small bull is pushing 1,000 pounds, and this man of God, without a four-wheel drive truck, without a hoist, butchered that bull, cut it in pieces. In other words, there was a lot of work that went in before the little prayer. Then he poured the most valuable thing he had, was water, upon the offering, because it had, oh, come on now, listen to what I'm saying. And then he said, God, just so they will know who God is, let your fire come down from heaven. Are you here? I'm paraphrasing it. And then the fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice that was on the altar laid there by Elijah. And then the people fell on their faces and started saying, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." If you want to see people converted from Islam, if you want to see people converted from Mormonism, if you want to see people converted from Jehovah's Witnesses, it ain't going to be done by having a better logic. It'll happen when the fire of God comes out of heaven. That's the only way. And then he tells Ahab, "You better get out of here, boy, because it's fixing to rain." And then he gets all beside himself after doing all this hard work, and he outruns a chariot of horses and beats him. What I'm trying to say, saints, this is the man that's fixing to be taken away by God. He knows he's going. Elijah knows he's going. The spiritual people around him know he's going. God knows he's going. So that's where our story begins. "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven." Aren't you glad you're going to heaven? Aren't you glad that this is as bad as it gets for the real child of God? This is. "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah." Guys, I'm telling you, when I'm going to share with the younger ministers here, I wish somebody would have shared it with me. I'm pouring into you guys because I want you. I'm bleeding. I'm asking God, please do twice as much with this generation of preachers. Oh, God, it's not about a man. It's not about a personality. It's not about voice of deliverance. It's about the kingdom. It's about souls. Oh, God, please raise up greater preachers. I want you to be, are you hearing me? That's why I'm sharing this. I'm sharing, and nobody in this room has this mentality, I don't believe. I don't believe it. But I've met guys that come out of Bible college, and they just think that they're going to walk into a church, and it's just going to explode and grow, and they don't have to knock on doors, and they don't have to fast, and they don't have to seek God. That ain't going to happen, friend. The ministry is hard work. But how many of you want to work with the supernatural power of God manifesting all the time you're working? I don't mind working if God's back in my play. "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind." Everybody wave your hands and say, "I'm glad God uses me." Then throw up your other hand and say, "But God could do it without." It is my honor. It's my privilege to be a servant of the Most High God. But God could get it done without me. See? So Elijah's going to go, but the church ain't going to fall apart. I was reading this today, Pastor. I'm glad I did, because I'm preaching on tonight. And I got to thinking how we've lost Ray H. Hughes in the last year or so. And I remember the day he died. And I thought to myself, what are we going to do without Ray H. Hughes? And I mean it. I meant it. My mentor, Dr. Lowry, is in his 80s. And he's having these impartation services because he knows his time is limited on earth. He's told me so. Billy Graham has passed away. David Wilkerson has passed away. And I couldn't help but think, what is the future of the church without these giants of the faith? But I'm telling you, God's got some folks right here, right now, that were just as unknown as Billy Graham was when God saved him and called him. Just as unknown, I'm telling you. And God's saying, "I've got a double portion for you." And if they were come back from the dead right now, they would tell you that they did what they did for me, not by might nor by power, but by God's Spirit. By the whirlwind, and by a whirlwind. And Elijah went with Elijah. And Elijah went with Elijah from Gilgal. Now notice Elijah is following Elijah around. Let's go to voice number 2, please. "And Elijah said unto Elijah," now when I get mixed up, which I will, and I'll call Elijah, Elijah, and Elijah, Elijah, just cut me some slack here. It's easy to do. "And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here." How many of you want to operate in a double portion? How many want to know a secret from God how to get it? He says, tarry here. Wait a minute. In modern day terms, the general overseer, Bishop Mark Williams, says to Bishop John Richardson, tarry here. My boss just told me to tarry. He's the mighty man of God that did all these miracles. He knows God. So I can tarry and be in the will of God and my boss's favor. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord. I've got to go. I'm not going here because I decided to go and just tie up some loose ends and say some goodbyes. But the Lord has sent me to Bethel. Now bear with me. Bethel is where it all began. It is here where Abraham built an altar unto God. It is here that the nation of Israel comes into existence when Jacob wrestles with God at Bethel, and then he sees heaven open at Bethel, and the word Bethel means house of God. If you want a double portion, a good place for you to start is the house of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now bear with me. It is here that he wrestles with God, Jacob, and then God says, you're no longer Jacob, but now you're Israel, for you are a prince of God because you have prevailed. You have prevailed with God and with man. You have power with God and with man. Israel was birthed that very moment. Let me tell you something. A drastic change took place in that man. Saints of God, aren't you glad that we're all a work in progress, that you may not always be what you want to be, but you're sure not what you used to be because you've been to Bethel and God's made a change in you. And Elijah said unto him, see, this is where the whole thing started. This is the birth. So the prophet's going, and he wants to show the prophet in training the agenda of God. So he takes him back to the start, the birth of the thing. And Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth. And that's a long time. Brother Woods, he's saying, forever. This man here has fixed my cars, has helped me put grills together that I would still be trying to put together if I had to do it by myself, has done my dry cleaning, and I am embarrassed sometimes at how good this man cares for me and makes sure I'm taken care of. And I know in myself, I don't deserve that. I didn't come to be served, I came to serve, but I understand the principle. He says, Elijah, as long as the Lord lives, which is forever, as long as the Lord liveth, and as my soul lives, as long as I'm alive, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. In other words, he could have stayed where he was. He had permission. He would have been in the will of God to do either choice. In other words, God calls you. God says in his word the things he would like to do in your life. But then, as a man or woman of God, if you want to walk into that double portion, you've got to make up your mind that you're willing to do what God doesn't even ask you to do. You're willing to do what the people over you aren't asking you to do. If you want to be rightly used of God like very few have ever been used, you've got to become that person that does things that aren't required of you. You do it because you love God, you do it because you want more God in your life. You do it because you'll. So he had an agenda. He didn't have to do this. But those that actually really experience the double are those that will do anything, that they'll do more. You got to get to that place that I'm going to do what God asked me to do, and then I'm going to do more than what God asked me to do. He asked for 10%, I'm going to give him 20%. He asked for an hour of prayer, I'm going to give him 2 hours. Bear with me. You guys are so cool. Notice voice number 3. And the sons of the prophets. So there's at least 50 other people that knew what was fixing to happen. And so the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha. This, and everybody wait for me. There's nobody in this room that I think has the spirit, but I have to address it. This is what's killing the modern day Pentecostal movement of today, right here. And nobody in this room has this problem. And the sons of the prophets I said, nobody in this room has this problem, and I'm not going to miss the rapture to make some happy. But there are a lot of people in the church that have this problem, and it's stopping God from pouring out a double portion, and we can't afford that anymore. Because people are going to hell. We're on the verge of World War II. The terrorists want to destroy us. We better get a hold of God. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha. They were in the flesh. They were as carnal as the biggest drunk in town. Huh? And said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? That guy that's been holding you back. You had the skills a long time ago, Elisha. I was telling one of my fellow buddies that I think you're twice the preacher Elijah is. That if you ever got a chance, you'd do twice as many miracles as Elijah did. They thought that this thing was about a competition. And they're saying, hey, man, aren't you excited that now you're going to be the number one prophet because Elijah, who's held you back all these years, is no longer going to be standing on top of your head. And the man of God saying, and he said, yay, I know it, but hold your peace. Now, I'm going to give you a deep. How many want a deep rhema word right now? Let me see your hands. Do you know what hold your peace is? In the Hebrew, it means shut up. Shut your mouth. You don't even know what I'm about. You think I want Elijah's job. You think I want to bump him out of his church. You think I want to get the recognition that I'm the big dog in town. That's not what this is about. There's a job that's got to be done. And I can't do my job unless I got what he's got. And I'm here because I've got to get what he has before he leaves. It's not about a title. It's not about a promotion. It's not about who knows me or if I'm on my way up. It's about the agenda of God. Shut up. If you ain't gonna help me, don't hurt me. That's a bad spirit. That'll make my motives wrong. And if my motives are wrong, I'm wrong. Notice the next voice. You guys are so cool. If I can preach this here, I can preach on heaven here. I can preach on hell here. I can preach about the wages of sin being death and the gift of God being eternal. Elijah said unto him, and I know that Elijah's listening to this and so proud of him. He passed test number one. And Elijah said unto him, Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord have sent me to Jericho. Why did he have to go to Jericho? To remind Elijah what the double portion was for. Because Jericho is the wall that came down, that stood between God's people and the promised land of God that God promised Abraham back in Bethel, but doesn't get possessed until Joshua takes the... And he says, so I want you to understand that this is so we get the plan of God to be God's covenant people. This is so we possess the land for the glory of God. And Elijah said to him, Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, as long as you're here, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. So now we've been reminded of the covenant. Now we've been reminded it's about heaven being open. It's about kingdom work. Now we've been reminded that only God can bring down the walls that stand between us. Somebody give the Lord a hand. Notice voice number five. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho, they came up under the same Bible college as the ones from Bethel did. Came to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head? Today, tomorrow, you're going to wake up as the guy. He's leaving today. And now here again, he looks at these guys and says, you really don't get it, do you? You think I'm following this man when he tells me I can stay comfortable in my comfort zone, and you think I'm following around because I want something he's got. You don't get it. He's my teacher. He's my mentor. He's my spiritual father, and I love him, and I know he's fixing to leave, so I want to stay around him as long as I can, as much as I can, because he knows stuff that I've got to know. And he said, I will take away thy master from thy head today. And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Notice voice number 6. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee. This is the third time he's given permission by God through the Holy Ghost, by the man of God, to either choose to press in on his own or stay and still be in the will of God. Do you see that? And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee. The word pray means beseech. It means beg. So now he's saying, come on, man, really, 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 it's okay. Stay. For the Lord has sent me. Guys, why is he doing this? Because Elijah doesn't really want Elijah to stay where he's at. But Elijah knows that as we, as men and women of God, don't learn how to press in till we see heaven open, how to wrestle with God as long as it takes, if we don't learn how to get past those walls that try to hold us back, no matter how much God anoints us, we're going to fail anyway, because if we don't have something inside of us that says that I've got a spirit of excellence and I'm not going to be satisfied just tearing in a comfort zone, I'm going to press through into something greater, more powerful. And I pray thee, stay, tarry here, I pray here, for the Lord has sent me. Right now, I'm the one assigned to go to Jordan. Why Jordan? Because the Jordan River is the river that the priests carried the Ark of God across, and it parted, and they walked across on dry land, and then the wall of Jericho came down. The word Jordan means one that pulls down or one that pulls under. And he said, just tarry here because I got to go. And what he's saying to the young prophet in training is that this anointing is to give you the power and the courage and the strength to go on when everything around you is trying to pull you under and pull you down. I've got to go to Jericho because I know by the Holy Ghost what you're fixing to ask for. And if you're going to ask for this, you got to know the reason for this. This is the power that keeps you going when everything inside of you wants to quit and give up. This. For the Lord has sent me to Jordan, and he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. Now it gets really exciting, kids. Voice number 7. Turn to somebody and say it's hoiky joiky. Shake your head. I know some of you got up about the time I went to bed. I went to bed at 5:30 this morning. So some of you are already up and you're falling asleep right now. And I know it's hard to listen to, but I'm teaching something that's more important than Fox News. I'm teaching something that's more important than the next American Idol. I'm teaching something more important than if the Cubs win or the Bears. So shake your head. Go ahead. Shake your head. Throw water in your face. Slap your cheeks. Whatever. Something. Just stay away. Now bear with me. 50 men of the sons of the prophets, I've been preaching 51 minutes. Can we make 60? I said, can we make 60? Let's set a goal. Let's set a goal. Tarry here. Tarry here at 51. I go with the 60. Well, if you're going to see, as long as you're breathing, preacher. Guys, we're silly. We have churches all across America that are saying, let us see your glory. But they don't live godly. Without holiness, no man can see God. We got people praying for a double portion of the Holy Ghost, but they have no intention of teaching a Sunday school class, singing in a choir. They don't even have any intention of mopping the floor. So they're asking for a double portion to do nothing. God, give me a double dose of nothing. In other words, guys, we got to get a mind made up that if we really want a double portion, it's going to take time, it's going to take teaching, it's going to take effort, it's going to take pressing in, it's going to take hunger, it's going to take thirsting. And the 50 men of the sons of God, of the prophets, went. Now they're scared because they gave the wrong answer twice and he told them to shut up. And the 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off the next generation of preachers, you see. Y'all sitting right there. And the two stood by Jordan, Elijah and Elijah. Notice voice number 8. And Elijah took his mantle. That word mantle is what this is all about. It's not about the Holy Ghost, because y'all got the Holy Ghost. It's about doubling the Holy Ghost, because the mantle you have, you can't do what your mantle is without double. The word mantle, you know what I need now? The word mantle means glory. It means splendor. It means goodly. It means great. It means magnificent. It means glorious. It means honorable. It means powerful. It means excellent. It means famous. It means gallant. It means glorious. It means mighty. It means worthy. It means courageous. In other words, this mantle represents the very presence of God upon your life. This is about something bigger than man. And Elijah took God himself, or what that mantle represented, and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that the two went over on dry ground. Instantly dry ground. Microwave doit. Voice number 9. And it came to pass that when they were gone over, Elijah said, if he'd have stopped at Bethel, if he'd have stopped at Jericho, if he'd have stopped at Jordan, the question would have never even been asked him. In other words, God don't offer this to somebody that don't got some get up and go on their own. My God, I'm preaching right now. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, all right, ask what I shall do unto thee before I be taken away from thee. And look, and he says, well, I don't really want too much of a big thing. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit, or the spirit of God that's on you, be upon me. In other words, I believe God knew this all along, and I believe Elijah knew it all along, and I believe it was the will of the Father, but the Father knew that without good work habits, without good discipline, it wouldn't matter if you had a double portion. You'd never get nothing done anyway. God, everybody wave at me. God double dosed you right now, and he ain't gonna make you get up and read the Bible all night. He ain't gonna make you fast and pray. Am I right, Pastor? He ain't gonna make. Now listen. Now notice what the man. I'm having fun. Everybody say we're having fun. Voice 10. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Hard, but not impossible. Hard. You know why God had him pass the first 3 tests? Because he couldn't even possibly comprehend the next one had he not done the first 3. Because he wouldn't know what it was all about. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me, not be here when I go, see me when I go. Because what you're asking for comes with a purpose. And if you don't have the purpose, you ain't going to get it. Sister Billy, I'm saying powerful truth here. See me when I am taken from thee. Because what you're asking for, God will give it, but he'll only give it to someone that has his agenda. And it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. This man of destiny that has passed all the tests, but now if you don't see the purpose, you ain't getting it. See, people are asking for the glory, but they don't see the purpose. They're asking for a double portion, but they don't see the purpose. The purpose is to win this world to Jesus Christ while there's yet time. The purpose is to set men and women free. The purpose is to build the kingdom of God. The purpose is to magnify the Lord. Notice voice number 11. You guys are so cool. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked. Imagine, Mike, you and I walking down the street tomorrow. Be cool if I go this way. Don't call me back if I do. And we walking down the road, and a Holy Ghost tornado came down. And all of a sudden, whoa. And as they went on and talked, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and the horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now, I don't know if he was on the chariot or not. Don't really matter to me. But I know he went up in the whirlwind, and I know where he went. He went where all of us are going to go, to a place. But now, I'm not taking away from this. That's not the real important thing. If you want to see him actually on the chariot, I'm cool with that. If you want to see him now, that's not, I'll show you something. Voice number 12. And Elijah saw it, and he cried or screamed or hollered, "My father, my father." And my father, the chariot of Israel. My father, you have been the chariot all these years. Who rides on chariots? Kings ride on chariots. You have been the man that God has employed as his chariot to carry on his will for the nation of Israel. And now, Father, 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 you are going. The chariot represents the agenda of the king. His king rides on it. The horseman is the one that guides it. God uses men. The horses are the power that could easily be the Holy Spirit and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took him, he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them into pieces, not out of awe, not out of shock, not out of fear. It is time for the church of 2013 to strip off the old garment, to rip off everything that's been holding us back, lift off the limitations of our past, because God is about to give us a mantle. God is about to give us something that we can't live in the old and operate in the new. You can't be. Notice the next voice. You guys are so wonderful. And then when he ripped off the old, even the good old, he had been the prophet, the second man, but no longer, he can no longer operate in that. He's got to rip that off. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. And he went back and stood by the banks of the Jordan. In voice 14, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the water and said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And if you read the next verse, it will tell you that the men watching said, the same mantle, the same anointing that was on Elijah is now upon Elijah. Why? Because God says, "I'll give you the double portion, but you've got to be on my chariot. You've got to be aboard my plan. You've got to follow my directions." When I give you a double portion, you no longer live. You're just like my son Jesus. You're dead man walking. You came to die. You came to be crucified. It is no longer you that liveth, but Christ Jesus that liveth in you. When you get a double portion of the anointing of God, it's not to lord and rule over God's people, but it's to serve the people you serve. It's to serve your country. Your life no longer belongs to you. You now belong to God and the plan of God and the direction of God. You lose your life. It's no longer yours. But notice what he says. How many are ready to lose it? How many are ready to lose your life? Because the anointing, the double portion mantle, is to be a leader in the nation, to keep the nation right with God. And God has a double portion available to bring America back to God. But we've got to be on the chariot. We have got to be directed by God. We have got to be in God's. Finally, he says, where is the God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the water, miracle number one, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. My question from the Holy Ghost to you tonight is, where is the God of Elijah that answers by fire? Where is the God of Moses that delivers people in 2014? Where is the God of Samson that will make you a champion? Where is the God of Daniel that will deliver you from the roaring lion? Where is the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that will deliver you from the fiery furnace? Where is the God of John the Baptist to preach repentance? Where is the God of John and Peter? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. Where is the God of the Apostle Paul? Where is the God of Azusa Street? Where is the God of Camp Creek? Where is the God of Barney Creek? I'm here to tell you, he's here right now, and he'll give you a double portion. God. I bid you come. I bid you, my beloved. I will pour out my fire. I can save America. I can save your family. I can protect this country, but it will take my fire to do so. I bid in you now. Do not tarry where you've been tarrying. Bethel is good. Jordan is good. Jericho was good, but I've got greater miracles than that for you. If you will come this night and cry out to me and stand and tell me that you will tarry, I will pour out my spirit upon you and a double portion, for I have been looking for a people like you. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? If you are, stand to your feet, saith the Lord. Throw your hands in the air and praise and magnify me. Don't be satisfied just being in the house of God, seeing heaven. Don't be satisfied having some walls come down and possess a promise or two. Don't be satisfied walking in dry ground over that which once pulled you under. Press in right now, saith the Lord, for I have a double portion.